Mayish.
Okay, we go to Teira Shmini, page Yud Tes, bottom of the first page. Dr. Rebbe is explaining in this biur that just like there's neshamis, just like there's malachim that are called behemoth and malachim that are called eif, each one has an advantage. Eif flies, behemoth is stronger. So there's neshamis that are called eif, and there are neshamis that are called behemoth. There are neshamis that are called nun yama. There are neshamis that are called shor abad. Each one has its advantage, disadvantage. And, okay, so now he says, achal kapon muvin, it's understood. Oh, because he explained before, there are certain neshamas that are created from yichud avar, meaning yichud of chochma and bina. Those are the greater neshamas, the neshamas of machshava, so to speak. And then you have the most neshamas that come from the yichud of zav and nukva. Those are neshamas of bria. In other words, they originate in Atzilus, but they come down basically and they exist in the level of Bria. The neshamis of Yichud Avav, Chochm and Bina, those are the level of the neshamis of Atzilus. He says, Achal Kuponim, Muvin Shestam, Neshamis Shenim Shchom Yichud Zund Atzilus. Ve'elam Abriya, that most of the Stam neshamis, they come from the Yichud of Zoh and Nukvaim Atzilus into the world of Bria. Actually become the level of Bria by being birthed from the feminine, meaning the level of Malchus of Atzilus. Simply put, all neshamas, like Dr. Rebbe says in Tanya, originate in Atzilus. That's a given. But certain neshamas along the way down from Atzilus into the body of the person or before they come down, so most neshamas are on the level of Bria, meaning because they come into the world of Bria, they don't go like passing through what's called Derech Maivir. It's like a freeway. It doesn't go from Atzilus to Asiya, passing through the freeway that's not affected by the cities along the way. Those neshamas, the Bria means the neshama originates in Atzilus, but it stops in Bria, it's affected by the world of Bria. That's the level of the neshama now. And then it goes through Yitzir and Asiya freeway. You know what I mean? So you have those different levels of neshama. But he says most neshamas come from Yichud Zun, meaning it starts off in Malchus, between Zon and Malchus of Atzilus, it comes into Bria, that's the level of the neshamas. But by the way, even though Malachim, the great Malachim are in Bria, but they don't originate in Atzilus, they originate in Bria. Neshamas originate in Atzilus and then come into Bria, so they're still greater than the Malachim. And that's why it says in the Zayad that the 12 brak. Okay, Shlomo Melech, when he made this thing, he made the yam, which is the yam alem omar. There was 12 cattle. Okay, this is what he made in the Beis Hamikdash. And there was the yam, the sea over them. So the sea over them is Malchus of Atzilus. Then it says the Yud Bei Bokar, the 12 cattle, correspond with the 12 Shvatim. In other words, what the Zayar says is the Neshamis of the Avis, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, they are the level of Atzilus. Avram is Chesed of Atzilus, Gruah of Atzilus, Tveres of Atzilus. The 12 Shvatim are the level of Bria. Okay, that's the Bria. Now he says, but they're called Yud Beis Bakar. Bakar means cattle, like you said before, Shor, which is much stronger than the level of bird, of oif. That's the idea, and because Keichem Rav, because they can elevate, like it says in the Pasuk, they are the ones that pick up Hashem's throne, and in the world, and the Adam that's on the chair is elevated by these malachim from the world of Bria. Meaning, in other words, before the Alter Rebbe explained that even though those in the Shamas that deal with Gashmistik mitzvahs, not like the Arizal and Rashbi that dealt with only spirituality, right? Those in the Shamas of Shor Abad basically versus Leviathan, and he said the advantage of Shor Abad is that they are doing physical mitzvahs. The Rashbi primarily did mitzvahs beruchnius, like in the cave. Okay, he said Arizal also like that. But those neshamas that are called Shor HaBar, and therefore the Shor HaBar is going to gore the Levyasin, meaning it's going to elevate the Levyasin, meaning because they deal with Gashmiyistik things, which are lower than the Ruchniyistik level of those great Levyasin Tzadikim, but because they're lower, they spark some Tehu, which is basically higher, and therefore when those neshamas do physical mitzvahs, because they're elevating the sparks of Tehu, they have the ability to positively impact those in the neshamas of Nunayama to go higher. And that's what the Shor HaBar does to the Levyasin. What?
Aren't all the neshamot coming from Atzilut?
I just explained that, sir.
So, yes. So, how could the neshamot Avot come from...
The neshamot comes down into the world of Bria, basically the way the Yeshmiayin, which are sparks that need to be elevated. A simple example, you can't do Torah mitzvahs in Gan Eden. Because Gan Eden is nothing physical to elevate. Now, what's the advantage of physical over Gashmias? The fact that down here it's lower means the sparks come from Tehu. So when you reveal the spark, like when we do Torah mitzvahs, or eating, or drinking, or sleeping, or whatever it may be, we're dealing with Gashmiyistik things. We utilize them the right way. It's okay. So we reveal the sparks of Tehu. And because of that, we have an advantage over those in the Shamas in Gan Eden, or in here, Shor HaBar, over the level of Levyasin that doesn't deal with Gashmiyistik things. So they don't deal with refining and revealing the sparks of Tehu. They don't have Avedis HaBirurim. Shor HaBar, remember the Alter Rebbe explained in the other manner, Bar is Birurim. They elevate the Birurim of the world.
The Neshama, the regular Jew, has more opportunity than Shvatim?
The Shvatim are basically the world of Bria. Yeah, but we have more than them also.
Well, are these lofty Neshamas coming down? Aren't they suffering here?
Yeah, your Neshama is also suffering, by the way. I mean, you probably have a lofty Neshama. Every neshama in every body is in jail, it's suffering.
But then,
yeah, well, one second. Some people understand this better. A guy is dying to speak, and you don't let him. That's torture, right? Very big torture.
That's how I feel.
That's what I'm talking about. I didn't want to say it, but you said it, so it's good. The neshama wants to feel alokus. The neshama wants to reveal alokus. The body doesn't let it. The body is in torture, in suffering. Even the neshamas of tzaddikim, it says. Okay? The fact that they're in a body is a suffering for them. Even though the body is refined and the body is elevated and all great things. Yeah? It's still affected by it. It's in golos. It's in jail. Mamish in jail. The definition of jail is, by the way, in a general definition, somebody else controls you, you don't control yourself. That's what jail is, like in the doghouse. You have somebody controls you, you don't control yourself. That's the definition of golos, of jail. The fact that the body doesn't allow the neshama, the body has to eat now, and the neshama has to eat, drink now, and the body, I mean, everything that's jail for the neshama. It's being controlled by the bodily necessities and functions that the neshama now is hindered by.
So the ability to be able to do Torah and mitzvahs doesn't overcome the jail part?
It does. It does. The purpose of the jail is the descent,
right, to do that,
to go higher. But meanwhile, you lose, like we said, you invest money, you read the Torah Chaliyah, you invest, you're losing money, bottom line. You know, you want to pick something up, you bend down, bottom line is you're going down. You want to jump forward, you take a step back. Meanwhile, you're taking a step back. But you knock down a building to put up a bigger one, you're still knocking down a building. You have no building. But there's a purpose. The purpose is to create something better. And that's why the neshama is, that's why it says in Pirkei Avos, yeah? You live against your will, you die against your will. That's a paradox. If you're living against your will, why am I dying against my will? If I don't want to live and I want it, then I do want to die. Why are you living against the will and versus dying against your will? It can be both at the same time. So the simple answer is, especially where Chassidus explains it, before the neshama comes down into the body, it doesn't want to come down. It's in basking in Gan Eden, in paradise. The neshama doesn't want to come down. Hashem says, no, kid, you got to go down. He doesn't want to go down. Hashem forces him down. Once the neshama is in the body and is doing Torah mitzvahs, okay, doing Torah mitzvahs, so then the neshama says, why do I want to go to Gan Eden? I don't accomplish anything there. Here I'm accomplishing.
Okay.
I mean, the simple meaning without chassidus or Torah is, yeah, many people say, oh, I don't want to live, I should have never been born. Yeah, but if you want to kill them, you didn't want to ever be born. The answer is, no, I like it here, bottom line. In the spiritual sense, it's the same thing. The neshama al-chatchila doesn't want to leave Gan Eden. Once it's here, it's seeing what it's come. It doesn't want to go anymore. That's very normal.
We start in 50 hours tomorrow, right?
Yeah, mitzvah shem tomorrow afternoon.
Does the neshama always come down in order to get elevated? Otherwise, the concept like
Giligul
name really makes sense. Yeah. But they don't always get elevated, do they?
Always. Because even if a person, like the Rebbe writes, coming up, hey, Ian, Yen Yen, the Rebbe writes the word from the Baal Shem Tov, the word, that's worth for Neshama to come into the world 70 or 80 years just to do one favor to another person, right? Now just think of it. 70 years, the Neshama, let's say, is doing Avedis. But he does one mitzvah. Okay, it's a very special mitzvah, Avos Yisrael, but, okay? So what happens is very simple. Okay, you have to understand, every person does good, every person does bad. Correct? Every person, even though the worst person, does something good, they do a favor, something, epis, they do, right? Okay, so for all the bad, let's say you did 90% bad and 10% good. Okay? So when the person dies, the 90% gets cleansed in what's called Gehenim, if there's no tshuva. So Gehenim washes out the dirt, the 90% dirt. But you still have 10% of good that you didn't do before. So for that, the neshama is going up now. Yeah, the neshama has to get cleansed in Gehenim, to get rid of the dirt. But the bottom line is, they did some good, so that good elevates the neshama greater than it was before, because in Gan Eden, there's no doing good.
There is nothing happening to the good in the Gehenim.
To the good in Gehenna?
Yeah,
it gets cleansed. The bad gets cleansed.
No, the bad gets cleansed, but the good, nothing happens to it, right? It remains.
Right. Yeah, you can't wash off.
It turns the heat from 1,000 degrees to 999.
Neshama never come down?
Very good.
They haven't heard so possible?
No, I didn't.
I don't know, because I never understood this. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains, how many neshamas are there?
600,000.
Those are general neshamas. Each one is composed of 600,000.
Each of the 600,000?
Yes. There's 600,000 times 600,000 neshamas, which I believe is 360 billion.
Billion.
Now, if you count all the neshamas of all the generations, there were never that many Jews. Besides the fact, most neshamas come down again and again. Now, so what does it mean? I don't know, maybe it says something. I don't know. So what does it mean there's 360 billion neshamas? So, and it says, in Chassidus brings this down, the Medrash says that Mashiach will come at Shetich will call and Ben David Baal at Shetich and the Kedafashis until all the neshamas come down. Now, there can't be 360 billion. Just make a cheshbon throughout all generations. You're not going to get to 360 billion.
What do you think that means?
I don't know. My friend, I said, I don't know.
So why did you throw something? Now we are going crazy.
Because I just want to show you that I don't know. And maybe you can go crazy. Why should I only go crazy? You can also go crazy, number one. Number two, there's a lot of smart people over here. Maybe.
Eden, right?
Yeah, we're talking about Neshama of Eden.
Does Neshama know the past and the future, or they're only in the present?
I guess the Neshama knows. As Neshama knows where it came from.
Neshama sat it for sure knows the future.
Does every tzaddik, when they're alive, know who they're a Gilgul of? I don't know. Maybe they know, maybe they don't know. I don't know, maybe they know. You have to ask a tzaddik to ask him if he knows whose Gilgal he is.
We are.
I mean, we know that the Rebbe of every generation is in the Shema Moshe Rabbeinu. That we know. Because that's what it says in the books, so obviously. Okay, right. So now you understand, you don't understand?
Yeah,
good.
Absolutely. You make me really get to there every day.
Baruch Hashem. I told you, Chassidus bring down the expression, Tachlis Hayidia Shalein Nedoacha. The ultimate knowledge of Hashem is that we don't understand Him. The more we realize we don't understand Him, we have a better understanding of what He's not. So we can have an understanding of what He is by understanding what He's not.
Science.
Lavdal. Okay. So he says, Vine Mavor Mokumachan Pasigani Simchi Bar Shebchin is Bas. Says the Pasuk says Rani Vesimchi Bas Tzion, right? They'll rejoice and be happy Bas Tzion, which is the level of Bas, which is the level of Malchus Datsilas. Hayered is Bibriya that comes down into Briya. So what happens, it's going to be Rani Vesimchi Basiyin Tala B'yesa Seis. It's going to be elevated to the level of Eishas Chayla Teres Baila, meaning Ki Agodol Kerech HaMizbarim, which is from the level of Sag, which is higher than the level of Ban, and therefore it's going to be, whatever it means, but in practical language it means, like it says in the Pasuk, Eishas Chayla Teres Baila. Eventually when Mashiach comes, the woman, the valor, is going to be the crown of her husband. Which means, now in the world, the woman is the receiving end. The husband gives, the woman receives. So she's the Makabal versus the Mashpia. But also, lovey, when we will see what the Makabal accomplished, the fact that it's lower, meaning that it comes from a higher source, and it accomplishes much more. So when Mashiach comes, we're going to see the way the source of everything will be revealed. Source of Malchus, because it's lower, it comes from a higher source than the other six Sfiras of Atzilus. Right? So therefore, it's going to be the crown of the Baal, it's going to be the level of Kesed. Because Malchus, the fact that it's lower than Chabad and Chagat, right, the 7 meters, the 6 meters, shows it comes from the level of Kesed. So therefore, Eishes Chayla, Teres Baal, is going to be the Kesed, the crown of the husband.
But they're already the boss.
That doesn't mean they're the crown. Now there's still, well, it's Mashiach's time, so yeah. They have the ability for the doghouse. Okay, so he says, Ki Yagodol Kerecham Mizbarim, which comes in the name of Sag of Hashem, Hayin Shetala, Filo Lamailam Bechinas Emo, it's going to be even higher than the level of Bina. In other words, not only will Malchus be higher than the 6 feet, it's going to be even higher than the level of Bino. Which is the level of Malchus. Chitim al Yam is going to go out into the sea. Hakadmeni, which is Bino. And the reason for this is, why is the level of Malchus, or those Neshamas that come into Bria, going to be higher than the other Neshamas? Because it's going to be higher than this part, because it's mevarid the birurim, like of Elamateo, Shemalchus mevarid is bebiyat. That Malchus we find the sparks of tail when it comes into biyat. In Atzilus there's no sparks of tail, because it's too high for tail to come down. Tail is when the sparks come down into the level of tikkun, like it says, "Bechen kasher b'asa sfeiras d'archeiza." Come aboard. Therefore, even though the neshamas that come from Chochma and Bina are greater than the level of neshamas that come from Malchus, right? Yichud Avor is higher than Yichud Zun. Nevertheless, there's an advantage of Shor Habor over the Oif, right? Even though the Oif flies, but who has more power than the ox versus the Oif? The bird has more power, because it's elevating things that have come from lower. So when they elevate it, they reveal those sparks, it becomes greater. So that's the advantage, by the way, of the neshamis of us over the tzaddikim. Like the Rebbe says in Basi Lagani, if you read the Rebbe elaborates even more, that in the union of war, battle, okay, because the king gets nitzachon, the attribute of victory touches the core, therefore people spend money and go crazy things, and he gives the mashal that by a king, there are normally treasures of the king that nobody even sees, ever. They're hidden, the crown jewels, all that stuff is mamish hidden, nobody ever sees it. When it comes to battle, to victory, so then the king is called mevazvez ha'itzeres. Mevazvez ha'itzeres means he throws them out cheaply as if they're worthless. Here they're treasures that nobody can even see. When it comes to the battle, he throws them out cheaply. I mean, why? Because victory is so important. So the Rebbe says in Basi Lagani, who gets that? Not the generals, the foot soldiers. They're the ones fighting. That means, who gets those treasures? Dafka, the foot soldiers. Not the generals, not the commanders, because they're doing the actual battle. So therefore we get, therefore we get greater powers to do what we need to do versus the tzaddikim that don't get that power because they don't need to do it. Hashem doesn't give us power. Hashem doesn't give anybody power if you don't need it. Hashem doesn't waste anything. You need the power, you get it. You don't need it, you don't get it. Right? That's the way Hashem works. What do you think, Nachshon? That's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't jump into the ocean. It had to be Nachshon. What are the reasons?
Pinchas.
Why Pinchas had to do it, not Moshe? Because those are the neshamas of not the level Moshe Rabbeinu.
Sometimes it takes a chassid, regular chassid, not the rebbe.
Pinchas. Yeah, Pinchas soldiers. Story.
Foot soldiers.
Foot soldiers. Why? Because they're the ones engaging actually in the battle. That means they're dealing directly with the klipa of sparks of tehu to refine them, to win them. Now there's two ways of winning a battle. You can kill them, or you can make them transform them into your side.
But we still need the, of course, the teaching and the zechut and the
Remember, we learned many times that Rebbe is the famous Sikha in the earlier years. Kindling the menorah represents kindling the neshamas of every Jew, therefore, there's seven menorah.
Yeah.
So the Rebbe says, Hadlaka ksheira bizot. You don't need to be a kohen to light the menorah. I mean, every Jew can, you don't have to be a kohen. Anybody could light the menorah. But the preparation of the oil and the wicks, that only should be a kohen. Okay, it doesn't make sense. What's more important? Lighting seemingly is more important than preparing the wicks and oil, right? So l'chayda, that should be done by everybody. It's not that important, and the kohen should be the one lighting. The Rebbe says, no, that's not the halacha. Why? Because the actual battle of kindling the menorah, right, that every Jew has to do. The style, the way, the derech of doing it, the preparation of how to do it, that you have to do it the way that the Kohen tells you to do, not what you want to do. Therefore, even, as the Rebbe emphasized a million times, you're talking about being Mekadav Jew to Yiddishkeit, yeah? There are many, many people that say, okay, compromise Torah to bring it to the masses because authentic Torah they're not going to do, they're not going to get. So they say compromise Torah, you know, do this, whatever, I don't want to elaborate on what people do. And the Rebbe explains it's mamish hepach against Torah. It's mamish against Torah. Because the Mishnah says, at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, what Hillel says, Eivus Abrius umekarvan la Torah. You bring them to Torah. It doesn't say bring Torah to them. Because you can't compromise Torah. Once you compromise truth, it's not true anymore. And the Rebbe says, it's not stam Hillel says, bring him to Torah. By the Mishnah saying that, it means the Jew has the ability to bring them to Torah. Because when you compromise truth, it's not true anymore. And because a yid has a neshama, and you want to kindle the menorah, so as long as you do it the right way, every Jew could do it. There's no kapara excuse that can't do it.
That's why the crown height shechita is important, because the preparation of meat is very important.
I'm not saying it's not important, but this had nothing to do with that. Who makes a better steak, you mean? Understand?
No, I mean, how the shechita is like a kindling than
the I'm talking about the truth. I mean, I'm being a devil advocate, but the truth is so encompassing. It's so huge, so big.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, right?
Yeah.
But as long as you know, this is where I should be, I'm not there yet. There's a big difference. Okay. We're off topic anyway. Anyway, okay. The bottom line is, there's a difference between telling a Jew, drive to shul. If you tell a Jew, drive to shul, you're basically saying, let's say, I'm just using that example, it's great. You're basically saying, it's okay to drive. That's no good. Torah can't say, you represent Torah, right? You can't say, it's okay to drive. But if a Jew drives, and you say, listen, you're coming to shul, it's a step in the right direction, you're not saying it's okay. You say, you're not there yet, but the road is beginning. There's a big difference between saying, yes, it's 1,000 miles, and yes, you have to get to the 1,000 miles, but you took one step in the right direction. Yes, in the right direction. That is the way you mekar van lateda, because you're not saying drive, eat treif, do something wrong. That means you're compromising Torah. Here we're not compromising Torah. Well, the Rebbe's opinion was, you tell the person, you're not there yet, I understand. It's 1,000 miles, but you take a step, you're at least in the right direction.
And like you said, you'll never be there, but at least you know where you're going. And you do a little more each day.
They tell the story, a guy had a dream that he was climbing a mountain, a very steep mountain, and whenever he got to a place, you see there's more to climb. Finally, he sees the Rebbe, the guy saw the dream, the Rebbe was on top. Basically, you're climbing a steep, life is as climbing a steep mountain. You get there after 120 years, you get to the top, okay? But along the way, as long as you're going up, you're in that direction, you're good. If you stop, you go fall down. What?
There's another mountain.
Yeah.
It's okay.
By the way, let me tell you a little secret. Not only is there another mountain, the next mountain is more steep. Yeah. Because Hashem says, oh, you're a good climber. And this percent steep, whatever you call it, right. Angle. So now I'm giving you a harder job. What? No, sure.
You said any Jew can kindle the menorah?
Yes.
Same passage applies to Shikata. Shikata and a Jew could share.
Yeah, if they know what they're doing. Hello.
Yeah, I understand. If they know, of course.
Yeah. In the base of English shows, okay.
Rabbi Rashab was frustrated
because he couldn't read.